too.
I really do.
I love you.
I love you too. Failed to mention Brother Gene and Sister Margie Farley. Got to see them yesterday, day before yesterday, and visited with them, and it seemed to be somewhat improved. They seemed very appreciative of the card that was sent to them as well, and they missed just above everything being able to get to the church, get to the meeting house, and so keep them in your prayers. I also saw Brother Bill Frazier up at Boonesboro. And he was just thinking about hymns. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to, even though you can't get out and do a whole lot, even the little lady that came to help, he has a lady that comes in and visits from to help him physically, health-wise. And he gets her to take him to the library, and he looks up some of the hymns and gets some of the information. And she was working on putting those little things together. And I thought, well, what a wonderful way to spend your time looking at the things that declare God's word. And I just pray that the Lord would bless us today with what we stand in need of as we meet here, to be able to have this service be that which is honoring to Him and giving Him the glory and the honor and the praise. It is our responsibility and our duty, as long as we're alive here on this earth, to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord. And one of the things that He's given us, or one of the blessed things He's allowed us to have, is the church, the Lord's kingdom, the place where we come to worship Him. We set aside, we worship Him hopefully each and every day in the course of our lives. Every day we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. But to be able to come like we have this morning is just a special blessing to the place where we can sit together and we offer prayers unto the Lord together as a body of believers. And we sing together. We lift up our voices in praise. We make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sometimes it may be on pitch. Sometimes it may be off pitch. Maybe the timing's not just right as far as what someone might think. But all of that is secondary at best, probably not important at all, to that which is essential, and that is we're singing from our hearts praises unto the Lord. And to be able to do that is a great, great blessing. And then to hear from His Word. We do need, as God's little children, to learn what the Scripture says in order that we might live our lives in a way to honor and praise the Lord. And the more that we are able by the grace of God to hear and to learn, the more we grow, and the more when we get in a situation, and it's not if we get in a situation, it's when you get in a situation in this world, you know how to deal with that situation in a way that's God-honoring, in a way that God's little children are supposed to act and to think. Thinking is important. A lot of people say it doesn't matter what you think, it's what you do, but listen, the doing in our lives comes from our thinking. And when our thinking gets off, it's not long before our actions get off. And by nature, if we just go by the heart of man, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. If we just go by what we think and how we feel about it, naturally speaking, we're going to be making a whole lot of mistakes in our actions and in our behaviors. And all of us can look at our lives and see those times in our lives where we've been in the middle of a mess and might have wondered how we got in that mess, and then look at the pattern of that. And sometimes we hear about it later. Sometimes we don't know why we're there. Sometimes we know exactly why we're there. But we look to it later from the light of God's Word and we say, okay, I see what's going on here. And the good news is part of the gospel message is to God's little children is to repent. And to repent means to stop doing one thing and start doing another thing. And we know repentance is not something a man just can do by nature. It's not just an intellectual activity. As a matter of fact, if you're able to repent, repentance is a gift of God. Repentance is something God gives you. God works that repentance in you. And what a blessing it is when we can learn something is wrong in our life and by the grace of God be committed and willing to change that and walk in another course in a way to please the Lord. And the Bible is filled with that kind of instruction. This morning, if the Lord will bless us, I'd like to look for a little while at the writings of the Apostle Paul to the church of the Thessalonians, and that's in the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And there Paul writes, along with Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'd like to read the first 10 verses, maybe a couple more into the second chapter, but look at the first chapter primarily this morning if the Lord would just bless us. Brother Tillman, when we were up at the funeral, I was talking to him at the family time and where the family was there, and he quoted part of this text to me as we were talking, and I thought, what a blessing when you've lost your dear companion that you have a place to go and some things in your memory that can help you so much. And it's just stayed on my mind since he said that, and it's kind of continued to be there. And though I've read this passage many times, I really hadn't thought about what he had said. The part of the verse that he quoted was the fourth and fifth verses here. And it was talking about how God's children can know and have some assurance. We sang that hymn 47, I believe it is now. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's important that God's little children might have some assurance that they belong to Him. I know that's important to me this morning, that I belong to Him. I believe we've sung it. I believe it's important to you that you might know that you belong to Him. And we know that this knowledge is never going to be a knowledge that is so complete and so sure that we won't have some doubts. We'll never get beyond any doubt altogether while we're here in this world. But a good church service, a good meeting, good preaching ought to give us more assurance about belonging to the Lord rather than taking that away from us. When we get out in this world, sometimes we act and behave in ways that are contrary to the way and the will of God, and we can become very doubtful and questioning in our minds and hearts, do I really belong to Him? Am I His or am I not? You know, some people say, I never have that question. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have it. And I have it more than once, more often, and sometimes more so than others. And when I have that question, I want to get close to a place or be near a place where I can hear the gospel preached, because when I hear the gospel preached, it allows me to have more assurance. It allows me to see the evidence. It allows me to identify things in my life that give me some assurance that I belong to Him. We think about that hymn, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. What does that mean to you this morning? Jesus is mine. To the hymn writer, to little Fanny Crosby, it meant, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Because Jesus was hers, not because she grabbed Him, but because Jesus is hers because He grabbed her. Because Jesus is mine, I have a foretaste in that knowledge that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. In other words, my hope of heaven is Jesus. And by the way, that's the hope of anyone for heaven. Some people say there are many ways to heaven. Sometimes they'll even say Jesus is one of those many ways. If the Bible is true, and I know that it is, if what God has said in His Word is the truth, and we certainly believe that God, and He said, let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is not only a way, but Jesus is the way. He's not only a truth, He's the truth. And Jesus is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. That's pretty clear language, isn't it? And the wonderful good news about that, and the assurance that we have, I'll read the verse, I hope, here in a minute, but the assurance that we have is because of what Jesus has done for us, not because of what we have done for Him. And that's really important. A lot of people, a lot of God's children,
A lot of them that are going to be born, that are born again, and they'll live with Him in glory, are trying to get assured by doing something that they belong to Him. They're looking to be settled, I belong to Him because I did this and I did that or I did some other thing. Sometimes they'll be told, if you'll just join this church and if you'll just be baptized, if you'll make a confession of faith, if you'll walk down the aisle, if you'll shake the preacher's hand, if you'll do your part or do these things and you get this checklist and you fill in all the boxes and you can check that off, you can have assurance based on that, that you belong to the Lord. Well, if that's the case, then salvation is not by grace, but it's by works. And those works are those things that are necessary for us to do. And the Apostle Paul, right in the beginning of this letter to the Thessalonians, doesn't say works be to you, doesn't say grace and works be to you, but he says to them very clearly, grace be to you, because he taught very clearly that salvation is by grace and is not by works. And the grace of God is such that you can't add to that grace, you can't take from that grace. It's God who does it. Whatever God does, it's perfect. And you can't add to it and you can't take from it. God doeth it that men should fear before Him. And so our salvation, our assurance should never be in what we have done for Him. But our assurance ought to be in what He's done for us. That's why preachers ought to have a lot to preach about when they talk about what the Lord's done for His people. And there are some things we ought to be doing because of that. But I'm telling you, none of those things add to what He's done for us or take from what He's done for us. And what He did for us was never because we deserved it or merited it or earned it or happened to be in this family or this happened to be a Jew rather than a Gentile or a Gentile rather than a Jew or our race or our nationality or whether we're rich or poor. It's done completely by His own good pleasure and His own purpose and His choice of His people. And those whom He elected, or those whom He foreknew, or those whom He predestinated, or those whom He calls, or those whom He justified, and are those whom He glorifies, and that wonderful purpose of God in saving His people is complete in the finished work of Christ. And little Fanny Crosby, I believe, understood that. That's why she sang, and she said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Her hope of heaven was in what Jesus did. Today I want the best I can to declare unto you that your hope and my hope of heaven is in what Jesus did, not what you did. Now some people say, well, that would tell you to tell the folks not to do anything. Well, a good old faithful old Baptist preacher won't ever tell you not to do anything. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. We got more to do in that than we'll ever get done in a lifetime of work. But the work that we do in this world, if it is void of faith, if it's not a work of faith, then it's not pleasing in the sight of God. If it's not a work of love, then it's not pleasing in the sight of God. In order to please God, we have to walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Because to come to God today, as we have this morning, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And you cannot believe that He is if you don't have faith. Faith is the substance of your belief. Faith is the evidence of your belief. And without faith, you just can't believe. So when a man comes to you and says, if you'll just believe, you'll become a child of God, he's got the cart way in front of the horse. Because in order to be able to believe, you have to already be a child of God. You have to already be born of His Spirit. And the faith comes by the work of grace in your heart. If we are saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourselves, is it? No, it's the gift of God. Otherwise, you and I would have some place to boast. And believe me, there's a lot of men today in pulpits bragging. They're bragging on themselves for what they've done for the Lord. And they're bragging on the congregation for what they're doing for the Lord. And they're giving them a supposed assurance based on their works. And that assurance lasts about as long as it does for you to get up out of your seat and walk out the door. And maybe not that long, because as you're sitting there on the bench and you're thinking, boy, I've really done the things that are necessary to stamp my ticket, that when I leave this world, I don't have to worry about death and its awful sting, because I'm going to be in heaven because I did this, I did that, or I did some other thing. Some men will say to you that if you don't do those things, then there is no hope for you. Let me say this. Our hope has never been in us. In us, according to 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, in us we have the sentence of death. That means in me there's no help, and in you there's no help. And if you're looking to a preacher to help you, I'm sorry. He's in as much trouble as you are. There's only one hope that he has and one hope that any of us have, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Jesus did for his people, he did it. He finished it. He didn't just come to try to do it. He accomplished it. When he came here in this world, he had a particular love for every one of his children. He had them in his mind individually. There wasn't one of them hidden from him. The eyes of the Lord were in every place, beholding the good and the evil, which means he, down through eternity, when he looked upon you and he looked upon me, he saw us, and he saw in us every sin, every lie I ever told my mama and my daddy. I wish I'd never told them any, but I got a whole bunch of them. I got a whole list of them. Some of them I don't even talk to them today about. But Jesus knows. Every time that my heart was deceitful, Jesus knows. Everywhere I've been, everything I've done, every unclean thing, every unclean act, every unclean thought. And for me to think for a moment that I can have insurance, and this old boy, that I can get all that undone and in a place where God can have acceptance with me, I am fooling myself. And many of God's little children today are trusting, and they're singing Blessed Assurance, and Jesus is mine, but they think they had something to do with making him theirs. Listen, I am my beloved's, the wise man Solomon wrote. He said, I am my beloved's, but he also said, my beloved is mine. You know why we can say my beloved is mine? Because I am my beloved's. I want you to know you belong to him a long time ago. If you love the Lord today, he loved you a long time ago. If you called out on the Lord, somewhere in time he called down and awakened you by the power of his Holy Spirit. If you have a heart to believe in him, he worked that in you. You couldn't have worked it yourself, and I could have never convinced you. Some men say you preach it into people. I'll tell you what you do when you preach the gospel of grace to people and tell them how rotten and no good they are. If they haven't been touched by the grace of God, you'll make them mad. You won't make them happy. I'll tell you who gets happy with the message of grace. That little sinner, that little heartsick one who's already been aware by the grace of God that whose heart is already broken, who has been touched by a power greater than a preacher's voice, or greater than mama's and daddy's prayers. Thank God for mama and daddy's prayers. Thank God for the men who stood in pulpits and preached the gospel. But I'm telling you, none of that would have accounted to anything, nor would have any of it had happened if it had not been for the love of Almighty God, which was on his people even before the very foundation of the world. And those whom he loved are in his love. If you've ever been loved by him, you're loved by him today. And as many days as you'll have in your life, you'll still be loved by him. And when you die and leave this world, you can say, oh death, where is thy sting? And oh grave, where is thy victory? Because his love was so wonderful and so powerful that he sent his only begotten son here into this world. And he came because he loved us. And he took the sting of sin, the sting of death away. The sting of sin, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. That's why we get scared to death of dying when we think it's in our hands. There are a lot of God's children today that are scared of dying. And the reason they're scared of dying is because they think the sting of sin, the strength of sin is the law. They think that it's in their hands whether there's going to be a sting in my death. Is there going to be a sting? Death is viewed in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15 as a monster with a venomous sting. We sing one hymn, Asleep in Jesus. It has to be rightly divided, because it's not the soul and the spirit that is asleep. It's the body that's asleep. But the soul and spirit is in the presence of the Lord, but asleep in Jesus. And in one part of that it says, death has lost its venom sting. Death has lost its venom sting. The sting of death is sin. That means somebody's taking care of sin. I ask you, did you take care of sin? Did I get it all straightened up? Did I get all my boxes checked? Am I going to see Jesus and say, oh, look, Jesus, you can let me in. Look, Father, you can let me in. Because I've done everything you required of me. That's me trusting in my own self to take care of this thing of sin. Let me tell you, that will never happen for me or for you or for any other person. When we put in the balance, and all of us in a sense are put in those balances, every one of us are found wanting. You know how many have not sinned and come short of the glory of God? Not one single person. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we were to be weighed in that balance, we'd be cast away from Him. That's why you and I hope and pray today, your trust and your dependence is not on you getting it right, but your trust and your dependence is in Him who is the one who removed the sting. You know why you can say, oh, death, where is that sting? Because we have one. Because of His love. Herein is love. 1 John chapter 3. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know what that word propitiation means? It means appeased. He satisfied our sins. He delivered His Son and gave His Son that He might come and take away the sin debt and remove death's venom sting, so that when you and I die, we're not afraid of dying. Listen, there are a lot of people afraid of dying. It's just going to be just fine with them when they die. But they go on holding on to this world scared that I've seen a lot of God's little children scared to death that I haven't done enough, that maybe what I've professed has not been real enough. Have you had questions in your mind? Did I make a confession that was true and real? Was I really sincere when I did these things? Was I playing? And there's so, see, the problem is, even when we would do good, according to the Bible, there's evil present with us. And so if I ever get out of the pulpit and think, I got all that right this time, I had the right attitude, the right mind, I am a Pharisee, as I said on the bench. I'm not understanding and recognizing that at my very best moment, I still sin and come short of the glory of God. And I sure don't want to face eternity with that being my assurance. And I don't believe you do either. As a matter of fact, when God's little children really see it in the light of the gospel, and that's the purpose of the gospel, not to give them life, but to shine a light so that they might understand. Look, don't trust in yourself. Don't lean on yourself. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that does it so well and so sufficiently. Let us never trust in anything else but in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And when we are faithfully by grace trusting in Him and leaning upon Him, When we get to that place, the old body starts breaking down, and you know you can't fix it up enough anymore. You do everything you can, the doctor's doing everything he can, but when one medicine starts working against the other, and you're trying to get this part of the body to work, and it breaks down that part, and I know you young people are sitting there looking at me thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. Hang in there, you will. It'll be sooner than later too. And I see some of these dear old brethren a little further down the line going, amen, brother, we know what you're talking about. And I'm telling you, this old world is fleeting at its best. It's when you have those good days, don't waste them in all the stuff of this world. Use them in the service of Almighty God. When your eyes are good, use them to study. When your mind's clear, fill it with the Word of God and the things, because the time's coming when you might want to fill it and you can't see the page is good. And when you try to memorize that text, it just don't stick. Even when you want to preach and your voice won't work. You know, and any of those things, Now, what am I saying about all that? I'm saying that death is certain for all of us. And when it comes time to leave this old world, you want to have a peaceful moment to leave. You want to be able to understand from your heart that heaven is not what I got from me, it's what He's done for me. You want to be able to share that with others when they lose a loved one and when their heart's broken, rather than tell them, oh, this one did this and this and that. Well, see, you know they did this and this and that. Be thankful they did them. But how many other this and thises could you mention that undoes all the other? And if you're trusting in that to get them to heaven, even if it's in a sainted mother or a father, you just think there was no wrong. Listen, if you think there was no wrong in your dad and mom, you just didn't know them as well as Jesus did. And I don't mean to be ugly about that, but that's part of the gospel. Mom and dad, as sweet as they are, would never get to heaven by their own works. And by the way, there wouldn't be any sweet mamas and daddies if Jesus hadn't worked that in them to begin with. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this first chapter, if I ever read it. It's what he's saying. He's saying it's all by the grace of God. Every good thing comes by the grace of God. Everything that we have, even and those things that you see that are good in people, that's an evidence of their election. And that's not how they got themselves in a position. It's how the Lord put them in that position. And we read in Romans 9 that position is given to them by the grace of God, not on any merit of theirs, not any good that they had done. He had mercy on whom He had mercy, and whom He will, He hardened. And He showed love to Jacob, and He hated Esau because it was His good pleasure to do so. And there was no merit in Jacob. There was no merit in Esau. That wasn't based on any good or evil that either one of those boys had done. But God in His election chose His people. And by the way, He chose a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people. And all of them, without the loss of one of them, will get home to their final destiny, and that's to be with the Lord forever. And when we're trusting in what He did for us, death, you can say, how can someone sing farewell, vain world? Oh, it's easy to sing it. When you're well and everything's going good, you can just sing that just fine. Farewell, vain world, I'm going home. But I tell you, when you start getting sick and your body starts breaking down and you realize I'm not long for this world, that my time is short, it's a wonderful thing to have a peace in your heart where on that dying day, you can truly in your heart say, well, that dear elder wrote in that hymn, farewell, vain world, I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. He had blessed assurance because Jesus was His. And Jesus was His not because He claimed Jesus. It's because Jesus chose Him, elected Him even from the foundation of the world, and then made Him aware of what He had done and taught Him that. And He had that in His heart. While you're young, I meant to get to that. Use your time wisely. Use your eyes wisely. Use your voice wisely. Use it in the service of Almighty God. Listen, you're just here for a short while. You're occupying until He comes. We're waiting today on Jesus' return. Our reason for living is because Jesus is coming back and He's going to return. And He's given me today. And the thing I ought to be concerned most about in this day, more than my job, more than my family, more than my wife, more than my a man or a woman than a husband, more than the kids, more than anything else, my most important concern ought to be in serving the Lord. That ought to be number one. And I'm waiting patiently for Jesus to come. And when I'm doing that, boy, you're taking care of your mama and your daddy and your wife. You're loving your wife like you would never love her otherwise. You're loving her wives or husband, loving their husbands like they could never love them otherwise. You're being taught of the Lord. You're being filled with His love and His joy and His peace. That's a good person to live with. Listen, that's not a brawling woman in a wide house. You know, the Bible says it's better to live alone in a corner of it's really talking about the attic. Than to be in a wide house with a brawling woman. I'm telling you, it's a home filled with love and peace that's focused on serving the Lord. That's my most important concern. Rather than telling off your boss, you'll go like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll be praying for my boss. A lot of times, I wish I could tell you old Gary had all this all stamped and checked. That's why I'm glad salvation is. But a lot of times I wish my mouth had said other things. I wish my thoughts had went another way. I wish my heart had been a lot more tender. I wish I'd have been softer. I wish I'd have been not weak, but meek. I wish I'd have been gentle and nourished God's people like the Bible says the Apostle Paul did. I wish I hadn't have been so quick to answer or so careless of thought. I wish I'd have understood that it's important, everything that I say. It's important how I live because I'm living. My number one concern ought to be about serving Him. And I'm serving Him not in order to obligate Him. I'm obligated to Him. Aren't you? Because has He been good to you? Ask you. Has He been good to you? Well, I know He has already. I hope you know He has. I believe you do. Nobody's walked out yet, so it gives me encouragement. He's been good to us, hasn't He? And I want to live better in order to honor Him. And He's coming again. It could be before this day is over. I don't know how long I have, but as long as I have a reason to have a sweet hope and wait patiently. Turn it over to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord and do what with them? Don't pick them back up and walk off with them. You can't carry them, but you leave them there and you trust in Him. He says, and I'm going to spend a long time. I'm going to read the passage. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in Jesus Christ. I love to think about that church. The church here at Happy Creek is not just anybody's church. It's not just anybody's planning. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in God the Father, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true of the little church at Bears Run. It's true of the little church at Thumb Run. It's true of our sister churches. Every one of these little churches is the planning of the Lord. It's what the Lord has given us here in this world. That's why you and I are to hold them dear and to cherish them dear, because they are that gift that God has given us, and He's given us that wonderful blessing that you and I might come in a place that He's designed and worship Him in a way and manner that He's taught us how to worship Him. And it's not my church to change. It's not your church to change. It's not mama's and daddy's church to change. It's not your children's church to change. It's the Lord Jesus' church. And He's written us a whole book about how that church is to operate in this world. How we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. In the church of the living God. The pillar and the ground of the truth. What a blessing the Lord has allowed us to have that. Listen, I've learned in this church the wonderful good news of grace. I've learned where my assurance ought to be. I've tried to talk about that. I've learned who my help is. I learned where I'm supposed to trust. In myself, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the living God. And listen, we've got a God who not only built His church, but He's kept His church. And He's given it to us today, here, and 2017, can you imagine 2017? I can remember when 2000 was coming and everybody thought the world was coming to an end because, oh, we're about to get to 2000. Everything's going to shut down. And here it is now, blink your eye, 2017, right? And for some of you that, well, listen, you think, yeah, I remember 1950. You know, I don't remember 1950. That was 4 years before I was born. But some of you remember that. How quickly has that passed? Doesn't take long. And I'm telling you, we're here in this world. Isn't it good to know that the God of 1950 is the God of 2000, is the God of 2017, and He's going to be the God of whatever year we live to, if this world survives, if it's still here. And I'm telling you, it'll stay here, and He'll have His church in it till He comes again. We have His promise on that. It is not my church to keep. It's not your church to keep. It's His house. And that's why you and I ought to watch carefully how we behave ourselves in His house. We ought to be careful how we treat one another, how we love one another, how we're following Him, because we owe Him everything. And he says this message, and he says this, the Apostle Paul, you can read where he writes this again and again. It's not just a greeting and a salutation like, good morning, how you doing? But it is a salutation you'll find in every one of the writings of the Apostle Paul. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've always found that to be the case. When grace is in the preaching, there's peace in the preaching. When grace is in the singing, there's peace in the singing. When you and I understand the grace of God, we have peace with God. When we start thinking it's in our hands or in our ability, you hear that, there's no peace in that. Do you ever hear preaching that didn't give you comfort? I'm not saying that it, you know, there are some rebuking you get. There are some times you get corrected by the preaching of the gospel. Sound preaching will do all those things, but it'll always be seasoned with grace. Where we know that the way I can even get straight, listen, if I want to live better, I believe every one of us want to live better and act better and talk better. But I'll tell you, if you and I just say, well, I think I can do it, I'm just going to grab this and lay hold on it. I'll tell you how many things has happened in my life in a good way when I thought I was just going to fix them and grabbed it and laid hold on it. My weight's been up and down like a yo-yo all my life. Many times because I was grabbing it and fixing it and lay holding on it. Listen, there's only one way that we'll be able to walk in any way pleasing to the Lord, and that is when we take it to the Lord and we leave it there, and the strength He gives us we use and we exercise it and we keep trusting. And the minute we stop trusting in Him and start leaning on ourselves, you know, pride gets you built up, and the higher you get built up, the bigger the fall is when it happens. So, where are we to brag and who are we to boast in? Not in ourselves, we're to boast in the Lord. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He's talking to God's little children. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. It's a wonderful thing to know the children of God are praying for you. I say many times, keep me in your prayers. And I'm not saying, you know, sometimes you say that to some folks. They say, oh, you're going to be all right. Listen, I want you to pray. We need to pray for one another. We need to remember one another in our prayers. We need to be continuing to pray. Don't forget to pray for your family. Don't forget to pray for your loved ones. Don't forget to, you know, if you pray for one another, it's hard to fight with one another when you're praying for one another. It's, you know, it keeps peace within the borders of the church when we're praying for one another. We're praying for all, and not just for the ones that, you know, sometimes we'll pray for this one and this one, but that one there, I don't know what I can get. Well, you know, when you can't get a heart to really pray for them, then you pray that God would give you that kind of heart you're supposed to have. Sometimes we don't even know how we... You ever have people that you don't even know how you're supposed to feel about them? You don't know really how you're supposed to feel about them. You wonder, am I feeling the way I ought to feel? And you go, I don't know. Well, you know what we can do with that? We take it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me as I'm supposed to. Do what I'm supposed to. Lead me, guide me, and direct me. And many times He may lead us to a passage of Scripture, or He may send a preacher, or He may directly in your heart lead you on what you're supposed to do. But I find over and over again, when I try to handle it, I make a mess of it. And sometimes when I don't, you know, when you don't know what to do, you're supposed to stand still and just wait. And then when He tells you to move, you're not supposed to stand still anymore. That's what happens. God's children said, you know, the Lord said move, and we're just standing still. They said, why are you standing still? Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. The Lord's already told you what to do. Sometimes we don't like it. Listen, and then what He tells us, that's what we're supposed to do. Where He leads me, I will follow. He says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I just love to see God's little children laboring in the vineyard. You know, we sing that hymn, here in the vineyard of my Lord, I love to live and labor. And it is a labor. Sometimes it's a labor. You ask these little sisters about meetings sometimes and all the preparation that goes into that. It's some work involved in that. It's some labor that's involved in that. You ask the ministers who serve the churches. There's some labor involved in that. Some labor in study. Some labor in travel. You ask anyone who's involved in the service of God and you'll see there's some labor. But the labor is a labor. It's a labor of love. And the work that you do is a work of faith. And in other words, there would be no work if there wasn't any faith. The faith has come from the Lord. And as you use that faith, faith will cause you to pray. Pray is a work of faith. When you pray, it's a work of faith. And you pray unto God because you believe that He is. It's faith that motivates you to do that. Even as you pray to one another. Anything that you do, as you lift up your voice and sing, it's a work of faith. And if it's not of faith, then it's not any good work. It's just outward show. He says, I'm just so thankful to see you working hard. And what you're seeing here is a little church that's laboring in the service of God, and they're all happy about it. Nobody's complaining. Everybody's happy. They're not looking at everybody saying, well, so-and-so did this, but I didn't, you know, I had to do all this, but so-and-so was doing this. And it's not a labor that's resentful. It's a joyous thing. Isn't it a joy? I enjoyed our meeting so much that when the Lord blessed those ministers to stand and preach and all the little bit of labor that was involved in us getting together. Oh, I'm telling you, He blessed us so richly and so wonderfully. It was a work of faith and a labor of love. And He says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You know why we can be patient and wait on the Lord? Because we've seen Him come through time and time again, and we have a hope that He's coming, that He's going to answer. And I'll tell you, dear ones, we have every reason to believe His promises and what He's told us. In verse 4, He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And he says, how could he know their election of God? Did he look at the Lamb's Book of Life and see their name there? No, but he saw the evidence. And he saw that evidence as he preached the gospel to them. That not only did he preach the gospel and he come to them in word. First of all, in order for a preacher to preach, he has to feel the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a hard place to be when you can't feel the Lord's presence. As a matter of fact, when we can't feel the Lord's presence, it's best for the church and for the minister if he would just take his seat. Because without the Lord's presence, he's going to hurt the congregation. With the Lord's presence, it's a wonderful place to be because you feel His presence. You feel Him giving you the thoughts, and you feel Him moving, and the Word of God lights up, and you get excited about it, and you just have something to share. It's also important when you're sharing that you look at it and you see a congregation, and when you see the congregation feeding on that, you see the evidence of God's grace. Not everybody feeds on the gospel. There have been times I felt that the Lord was in the matter in efforts to preach. But you look out over a congregation and there didn't, you know, you're just kind of looking around hoping sometimes you'll find one or two. And if you can find one or two, it'll help you because you just keep going to them. You communicate. It's wonderful. And I know y'all, I've said this before, you see me sometimes when others are preaching, I'll be turning around. Y'all think I'm just nosy. I'm not, I am nosy. No, I'm not just being nosy, but I am. I love to see the sheep feeding. I really do. One of the great joys of my life is to watch like God's little children happy. And when something hits my heart on the front bench, I want to look around and hope there's going to be some others. And it's been a joy in the meetings to look around and see those also feeding on those things. Seeing a little lamb or a little sheep feeding. You know what that shows you? That shows you one of the elect. You're looking at one of the elect and you say, oh, I don't know. I don't know what that. Listen, it wasn't you that got that. If you're one of His elect, you didn't have anything to do with that. He elected you. But I'll tell you, when those have been chosen by Almighty God, when the gospel is preached in power, it has a lodging place and a place to move. And you know how it feels. You know when you're hearing the gospel, you know how that feels when the Lord's in the matter. I'm not talking about every time a preacher gets in the stand. I'm talking about when the Lord is there in power and you can feel it in the preaching and you can feel it on the bench when you're there. And there's a communication from faith to faith. And it's not about us, it's about Him. It's the righteousness of God being shared from faith to faith. We're talking about Him. And then that brings assurance. What does it bring assurance of? To you, grace is a wonderful sound, but if grace didn't come to me, it doesn't help me a whole lot. It's a personal sound, isn't it? It's a personal message. I want to hear not only about the elect, but I want to hear it in such a way when the Lord applies it to your heart where you feel there's a sweet hope in your heart that I am among His elect, that I do belong to Him, that there are some evidences that I have in my life that I am His. I didn't get them on my own. He's the one who's worked them in me. And because of that, I can sing along number 47, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. This is the verse that Brother Tillman, I'm not going to try to get to all the way to verse 10. It says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, which means it moved you, and in the Holy Ghost. That means only by the Holy Ghost can that happen. Listen, it's not the preacher who moved you, it's the Spirit of God who moves you. That's why you don't brag on the preacher, you brag on the Lord. You can be thankful for your minister, but never worship him, never give the praise and the honor and the glory for every prayer, for every song, for every feeling you have in your heart to the Lord. Give it all to the Lord. That is why we understand the church is in him. It's not in us, it's in him. And all good things come from him. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And then this is the part Brother Tillman shared with me. He said, in much assurance. As your blessed assurance. In much assurance. That's what the gospel does for God's little children. It doesn't make them little children, but it makes them feel like his children. It makes them believe that they're his children. It makes them love him like his children. It makes them want to act more like his children. It awakens God's little children to the reality of who they are by and through the grace of God. And it says, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And what he's saying by that is that we weren't here because we were so smart you believed these things. The power of the Holy Spirit is what operated in you and that allowed you to believe these things. We came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, declaring the testimony of God. And you received the things that we said, not because we said them just right, but because the Holy Ghost revealed them to you. That way we never get blinded at who our help is. Our help is the Lord. He is our help. And he says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Listen, we sometimes talk about the cost it is to follow the Lord. You and I really haven't understood what a cost the early church paid in following the Lord. These old churches, if you read over in Acts 17, you'll read about this. These churches suffered a great deal. These brethren suffered a great deal by confessing that Jesus was Lord. They turned from their idols to follow Jesus. And it wasn't just a free ride. It wasn't just a good way to get along in life. They suffered much affliction. But I'll tell you what, the joy that they had in their heart, the assurance they had in their heart, their trust in him, and he is returning. If you read down through verse 10, we're waiting for him to return. Verse 9 tells us that we're serving him until he returns. That's what we ought to be about. And I got to find a stopping place. So when you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. And I do appreciate your kind attention this morning.
Love you, my brother. Bless you.